You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
So, awareness and conversation around the meaning of consent is becoming increasingly common in this day and age. And the Consent Club, a volunteer-run support system, is doing its part to change consent culture for the better. Although the club has been around for a couple years now, this is the first year that they are working in direct correspondence with the University of Auckland. Their first event will be on this evening at Party in the Park in Albert Park tonight. I spoke to club founder Olin Pererenu to find out more about the work that they're doing and began by asking, what is the Consent Club?
The Consent Club is an initiative that started a couple of years ago that basically we noticed that there isn't kind of like a service or a support for people that have had their boundaries crossed at festivals or large parties. So initially, I kind of started this initiative with a bunch of friends who were also really keen on going to festivals. Some of them who also had experiences where, you know, some form of groping or, you know, non-consensual boundary crossing had happened at a festival and who had seen themselves in a situation in which they wanted to report it, but there was not really any infrastructure to address that, apart from, you know, security, who are definitely not, they do a great job, but they're not trained to deal with this sort of issue. So we decided that we would start something along these lines, and here we are.
So what kind of services do you offer when you're at these festivals?
So basically, and again, this is kind of like, this is not an initiative that, you know, we invented. It exists around the world. There are similar things like it. Just in New Zealand, there isn't as much. What we do and what other people do in other places is that you work as a way of linking people that have experienced a non-consensual boundary crossing with existing available services like helplines or counseling or the police if need be. But yeah, we work as a link between people that need help and people that can provide help. We also promote the growth of a healthy consent culture at festivals. So like we do that by posters or doing little activations, talking to people, all sorts of things. And also we are trained to do nonviolent intervention when safe to do so. So for example, if we see a situation that may become harmful, we're trained to like diffuse the situation or address it in a way that is not harmful to us and that may potentially divert from something that could escalate further.
Yeah, how exactly do you train volunteers? Is there an application process? Do you have a screening or what kind of skills and knowledge do your volunteers actually need to get involved?
So far, the volunteers have mostly come from people in my community and people that I know that have an interest in sexual assaults and have an interest in like bettering safe partying. So it's so far been people that generally are in the community or that I know people that are safe. What we have done is we've developed a training with help of a couple of counselors, the help of online resources like AFE or RAIN or different sexual assault helplines. So we've been pulling in from lots of different sources. I also study criminology at uni and, you know, there's a lot of discussion around, you know, victims of sexual assault and restorative justice, that sort of thing. So it's knowledge that's coming in from lots of different sides that consolidate what we are today. And I can't say that it all coming from one source, but yeah, so our general aim is to work from a restorative approach. And so we've created all these kind of training guidelines centered around that.
Why do you think that it's taken so long for a club like this to exist in New Zealand? Is it long overdue, especially within the tertiary environment?
I remember getting involved in this type of thing about 4 years ago. And back then, there was an awareness of sexual assault and boundary crossing, but it was nothing like there is today. I think that, you know, it was just something that either was normalized and just kind of assumed that it was not possible to be addressed or simply ignored and not seen.
Just like,
so there wasn't... Sorry, go
ahead. Yeah, just like an expectation of attending an event, like that's just going to be there.
Yeah, like, you know, if you wear I mean, I'm going to do the Rhythm and Vines example. If you put glit on your boots, then, you know, right. It is understood that you will be grabbed. And, like, that is such a harmful way of observing that. But for so long, it kind of helped all of these incidences to go unnoticed. And then with time, more awareness came by and people kind of realized it's not okay and that there was a need for support systems of that sort. And so there was a lot more support for it. So started as a really small group of volunteers. We are still a small group of volunteers, but at least now there are a lot of people that are really interested in getting us on board and trying to do things with us. And we didn't start, for example, we didn't start university. We started our own festivals and doing our own thing. And it's only been recently that I contacted the university and they were really interested, but I am sure that if I had done so a few years back, it would have been probably interesting, but I would probably not have received the support that I'm receiving now.
Mm. So you're attending festivals. Are these mainly 18 plus kind of events?
Yes. I mean, not necessarily. Like the festivals that we've done this at are family friendly as well. But yeah, I mean, there's a strong party culture.
Yeah. Do you think that young New Zealanders, like in particular high school, is so, we're talking house parties as well, which you probably couldn't really set up, you know, a stall there. Do you think that they're receiving enough education around consent? Is that starting early enough?
Well, no, I don't think so. And it's really interesting that you raise this point because, and I'm going to divert your question a little bit right now, but I think it addresses what you're talking about. And it's that there is a notion that consent and consent talks are given from a really top-down approach, from a sex education perspective of adults teaching the children how to be consensual in their sexual interactions or boundary crossing. It's all very much from a top-down approach. And what we are trying to do is more of a bottom-up approach in which, like, we engage with the communities that are partying from a high-level perspective so that everybody contributes to bettering consent culture around them. So the volunteers that we have are generally part of the communities that we go and do our consent work at. So there is a collaboration more than a top-down approach. So as a matter of fact, did go to a house party recently, and it was, again, the organizers did an amazing job. It was quite a large house party, but a house party still. And, you know, they were really keen on getting us on board, and we went, and, you know, volunteers were part of that community as well, and everybody was, you know, really receptive. And it's because I think we need to divert from that notion that consent is like this sanitized, top-down, boring way of talking about sex ed. So yeah, to address your question, I think that yes, it is possible to come in and do this type of work at a foot soldier level, yeah. You know what I mean? But we just need to kind of reconceive how we talk about consent.
Yeah. So do you have a stall on campus during our week which people can come and talk to you guys about what you do? Or?
No, we don't have a stall. We will be at Party in the Park. This is going to be our first tangible engagement with the university tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to be roaming around with our Consent Guardian t-shirts. And you can come and look for us. We've got a piwaka waka, and it's written Consent Guardians. We've got a tent right by first aid, and we're there to help and to first, you know, like help that whichever consent issues may arise, second to highlight how important consent is. We're going to have signs in the portaloos as well. And also we're there to like show our face, make sure that people know that this is a thing. And we see a lot of opportunities to further collaborate with the university at parties and events.
Do you have any other upcoming goals and plans for the year?
Depending on how we do with funding, right now we're running a fundraising campaign. Depending on how we do, I'd like to, by next summer, be sufficiently equipped to go to some of the major festivals because that's where a lot of the issues are. And there are some festivals that, you know, their crowds are pretty large and they don't have the ability to address some of the safety issues that exist. And I know they're doing their best, but if we could go and work at those festivals, I think it would be pretty essential that we are well-equipped because they are in real need for it.
So those are all of the questions I have. Do you have any last comments you'd like to make?
Just to reinforce that if people want to get involved in any sort of consent training or if they want to know more, if they want to set something up, their own parties and everything, that they can get in touch with the Consent Club. Just look us up on Facebook, or just the Consent Club, and you'll recognize us because of our Piwaka Waka, and I'm super happy to share resources and help guide through how to make your own consent guardian team if that's what you're interested in.
So just a reminder, you can find the Consent Club at Party in the Park tonight, and they also have a Facebook page and a Give a Little donation site.
Worry Week on The Wire.
Yeah, that was...
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.